Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on medical leave. What's up, man?
It's September 10th already. Damn, man, it feels so weird now that we're into football season. 1 week now with Monday Night Football last night, and doesn't it just feel like time's flying by? I mean, we're almost at the end of the baseball season. And then getting ready for, the Ravens next, four games that are going to be tough?
Man, some crap. That's what it is. Yeah. I'm at the ball game on Saturday. After the post-game show at 7:15, it's getting dark outside. So, man, this is some bull. Yeah,
let me give you some light real quick.
That's some bull right here. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there.
By the way, right before the show started, pop off your headset?
Yeah, the cushion.
Did you find
it? It's like a black hole down here. I don't see it anywhere.
No, it's like something took it. Like, there's not much room where it could be.
It's taken. I have headphone cushion.
I have a very particular set of skills. I will find you.
Two things happened. Number one, we can talk about the Tyreek Hill situation, but did you read the accusations against Deshaun Watson?
I did not read it.
Oh, my gosh.
Are these, even more severe than the previous ones?
So, here's the deal. Can I give you the Cliff Notes version of it? Some good-looking woman was in the bar. Deshaun Watson's punk ass sent his representatives over to talk to her and exchange numbers. Representatives.
Find out if she gives massages.
Yeah. I mean, so she gave them his number. She's flattered by it. He invited her to some kind of soiree. She declined. She couldn't go, but she invited him to dinner at her apartment, which we never went out together, but I'll invite you to dinner at my apartment. Anyway, so he shows up. He was kind of aggressive because he couldn't find a place, and finally he found the place. She wasn't fully ready yet. She hadn't put her makeup on yet. Went in the bathroom, assumed he left because she wasn't ready, goes in her bedroom. He's laying naked, face down in her bed. Aggressively asking her to massage his buttock.
Really? This is the end-all, be-all with this cat? Because I thought maybe the Browns put this out because I saw how much dead money he has on the cap the next 3 years.
Jeremy, I'm still wondering whether or not this has something to do with the Browns.
I mean...
I wanted the same thing.
I'm telling you, look, and you understand where I'm coming from. If I'm the Browns, I'm hiring Sunshine and sending her sweet ass one over there.
Exactly.
And saying, hey, get this thing done because we owe this cat about 200 and some million guaranteed over the next.
And he's not good.
He's not good. He's the worst.
Jeremy, my conspiracy antenna went up too. I'm like, man, this is all weird. This is from October 2020. I think the day was October the 10th, 2020. Huh?
Yeah.
So all the other stuff that dropped, and this mic drops now, I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether or not, it's almost like the Browns were like, listen, you kind of hide in the woods. If this works out, we'll take care of you. If not, psst.
Yeah. Come here. Well, I, you know, a lot of people point this out, and I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but I mean, this feels like another Dave Chappelle bit coming on, right? Where he talked about Cosby, and his whole thing about Cosby was he rapes, but he saves. You know, like, we get into that whole thing, and Chappelle went on this whole rant and brought it back full circle. But, like, I've saw people saying, does he get his football powers from massages? Because what happened to him?
Yeah,
like,
I'm with you.
You just don't go from being one of the best quarterbacks in the league to, like, 2 years removed from it with all the stuff that happened off the field, and it's like, he forgot how to play? Like, it looks so bad out there. Like, the worst quarterback in the league back.
Yeah, no doubt. And you got that going on. And on top of that, Jeremy, sad news yesterday. We lost Mr. Voice.
People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Man, James Earl Jones.
You know what I found?
93 years old.
First off, amazing. Like, and you can go through all the different generations from the original Great White Hype and all the... other things he's done, because I don't, like, people remember the iconic voice and some of the things he was in. And it's weird. The thing I saw yesterday was the different age groups, like Ben that works on, you know, Ben filled in for Joe. Ben was like, posted something from the Sandlot, and I'm like, God, I said, that's the one you got? Because, like, Field of Dreams, Darth Vader, hell, even Mufasa. He was the voice of in the Lion King. But
man, y'all don't know.
What?
Y'all don't know when he played in Claudia.
Mm.
Well, keep away from him, Mr. Welfare. That's right, man. Y'all don't know.
Did you know when he was in Conan?
Yeah.
My dad.
He's the man. James Earl Jones was the man. Did you know as a kid he stuttered?
Really?
And this is why that's personal to me. In elementary school, Jeremy, we had different reading groups. And we had to read to your group. And I would stutter when I read. Couldn't read publicly. I was scared, shy, and stuttered when I read. And I read, and my teacher told me when I was in elementary school, she said, you know who James Earl Jones is? I said, yeah, thank. Because, you know, this is long, long time ago.
Well, he's Mr. Moses and Meteor Man, right?
That's what I think. I think she pointed out the movie Claudia to me. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. She said, he used to stutter as a kid. And she showed me this book that he was that was written about him. And I read it, and he stuttered as a kid. I mean, you're talking about... He was on Golden Pond.
You know how much I watched that movie when I was a kid? My parents had, that's what I was telling you, they had these DVDs. They had VHSs that had two movies recorded on every one. So we had, like, Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer. You're talking about On Golden Pond, I think was on, was with another like, drama. Maybe it was Fried Green Tomatoes or something after what. But, like, my family had all these VHS sets, and James Earl Jones across the board. You could have heard that voice in anything from a commercial to a movie to something he's uncredited. Just incredible, man.
He made his debut in 1957 on Broadway. Broadway, 1957, dude. He's been around a long, long time.
Yeah, man. This is, you know, this one sucks because I know a lot of people take it back to... the clip you just played from Field of Dreams. We all have our favorite sports movies, but like anything he did was iconic. You know, and then like he'll go down. And the cool thing is that now
Darth Vader.
I was just going to say with Darth Vader, and he just finished filming, I think, a Darth Vader series for Disney. Or I should say, like, filming. He was doing the voiceover. But the odd thing is, like, you know, now with AI, they can take his voice and they can keep him in film. Which that's the, you think about the plus, but it's also the negative of how crazy AI is.
And I misspoke. Did I say Claudia? Claudine. You're right. The caller said Claudine. I'm sorry. Claudine. Which was a good movie. Very good movie.
Yeah. But, you know, you think about a guy
Diana
like.
Diana Carroll starred with him.
God, I'm just looking back at his entire catalog here. It's just ridiculous. The movies he's been in. And again, like, you know, we always hear these stories, for example, the highest grossing actor of all time, believe it or not, is Samuel L. Jackson. And you got to understand, he's been in the Star Wars films, Jurassic Park. I mean, you can go on and on and on and talk about all the different things that Samuel Jackson's been in that were just huge hits. And but you think about a guy like James Earl Jones and the impact he's going to have for years. Mm-hmm. I don't think, even just because of that voice, I think people 50 years from now will still know who he is.
Well, yeah.
So, and I think it says a lot about him. And, you know, there's more to his story if you go back and start reading about, you talked about his stage acting and some of the stuff. And think about the time where he was really getting started in this industry and what times were like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1957? Well, black man from Mississippi?
Mm. He's seen some things.
That took some guts. He had to swallow some pride.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Lamar Jackson misses practice, but for reasons not given. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, the Baltimore Orioles got meal kicked in being down. Orioles baseball up next on the Fan.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
There's a drive to left field by O'Neill. This one's long gone. He's got a multi-home run game over everything in lap for the second time tonight. Ref Snyder and O'Neill go back to back, and the Red Sox now lead it 12-3.
Yep. You can't even blame your boy for this one. He didn't pitch a great game, Povich, but he only gave up 4 runs.
Yeah.
He didn't pitch a great game at all, but he gave up 4 runs. They went in there and just completely just got smacked, paintbrush slap. Mm. Bullpen. But I don't know what Smith was doing. He gave up 4 runs. Kimbrel comes in. He gives up 2 runs.
Surprise.
Cole Irvin comes in. He gives up 2 runs. Only one that did well, gave up no runs, was Soto. So at this point, I'm thinking when they scored 8 runs already, did Hodges say, you know what? We ain't winning this game. Let me let Kimbrel and Irvin get in the game.
And don't even give Soto a pass. He put 2 guys on and only got 2 outs before they took his ass
out. Yeah, you're right.
So, like, you know, yeah, one of those nights where it's like, you know, you do the whole Oprah thing again. You get a run and you get a run and you get – it didn't matter which pitcher you put in. I had somebody text me last night. My phone was up for the night charging, but asked me, why do they keep trotting out this kid, Cade Povich? And – you tell me what other options there are, like right now.
They won't trot him out when they can get Grayson Rodriguez back.
As soon as Grayson comes back, I think Cade's going back down more than likely so he can pitch every fifth day. Or are they going to keep...
Matt, at that point, season be almost over.
When's Grayson supposed to be back?
Season ends, I mean, the minor league season.
So then what? I'm assuming he becomes part of a taxi squad then or something. Or yeah. Like, you know, I guess I should have paid attention more to when the minor league season ends.
I think it's like a week before.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, the only reason I didn't even think about it is because my family was at the my wife's family was at the Bowie Bay Sox game over the weekend, and I saw too. I don't know if anybody saw this. Basayo hit an absolute monster of a bomb at AAA. So
yes, objects got in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, objects got in the way, my friend.
Yeah. Last night's one of those frustrating nights. You had the an opportunity here against what you deem to be an inferior opponent.
Yeah.
You weren't facing a great pitcher on the other side. I do like Brian Bayo, but he has been... I mean, look, he's got an almost 5-run ERA and a 1.4 whip on the season. So that means he's putting about 1.5 runners on base every inning, but this team is showing you they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. They're not as consistent. And look, scoring 3 runs, if you're playing the Rays, you might get a win. Scoring 3 runs playing the Red Sox, you probably ain't winning.
Especially in Fenway.
Mm-mm.
Man, it's not good right now. It's not. I mean, it's what we're seeing from this team. They're game under 500 since the All-Star break, and just not playing good baseball.
Yeah, and you know, like the other part of this too is we keep saying when they get healthy, we have to see what they look like when they get healthy. If they're going to get back, you brought it up yesterday. You just said 4 of those guys, and how different the team could look by those guys coming back, especially. You know, we can sit here and talk about how important Westberg is to the offense, right? And and defense, too. And putting that guy, putting an all-star back. This is what people are forgetting. Ryan Mountcastle, too, coming back.
It's huge.
Putting Mountcastle back in the lineup and putting an all-star from this year in the lineup at first and third, and what that does to your lineup and how it changes it. Because to me, Mountcastle and Westberg are everyday players. And to give them a day off to have a good matchup for, you know, a left-handed bat like a O'Hearn to slide in there.
And they're better hitters than the guys who've replaced them.
Yeah. So, and then the same thing applies with the bullpen. I mean, what you saw last night, people are like, so what's the big deal? You get Kloom and Webb back. And I'm like, yeah, pick two of those guys from last night that pitched, and they ain't pitching in the postseason. That's a win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like labeling all of them. Like, look, Birch Smith has had some good outings this year. He's looked good for a while. But like, there's certain guys that I think it's almost cyclical with the bullpen where you'll watch a guy get on a hot streak. And as soon as he comes off it, it's not just coming off it. You're like, what happened to him?
Yeah.
And then with the bullpen, especially early on the season, those numbers can elevate real quick. But like to your point, you add in those two guys. If you're able to put Albert Suarez in the bullpen, again, I think it changes up everything you can do. And I know I might be in the minority, maybe not after his last start, about Suarez going in the bullpen.
No, I'm for it.
Yeah,
I can't
trust him as a starter.
Even still, whether you can trust him as a starter or not, that is not – everybody gets a bad start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying he's a guy that I want to pitch in the postseason as a starter, but he's not that bad either. What you saw the last game, he's not that bad.
And I'm not saying – but you get where I'm coming from. It's not about him as a pitcher, whether he's good or bad. It's the decision that the manager has to make. He's not given a long leash.
Got better options.
Yeah, he's not going to be given a long leash out there to start. And I think, you know, for a guy that tends to put guys on base and have those innings where it's like, oh, two get on and Houdini gets out of it, I don't know in the postseason you're going to have that long of a leash to get out of it.
Not at all. Not at all. 410-583-1057 is the number. By the way, the headset phone
that
we were looking for, I dropped it at my little desk area of the studio. Ed sits opposite of me, almost like facing me, which means there's two corners to turn to get there. This thing fell on the floor and somehow it fell. Jeremy, I dropped it right here in front of me.
And there's dark carpet, but you could definitely see this because this is darker.
I dropped it in front of me, which means there's 1, 2, 3 corners for this to turn. I dropped the foam in front of me. It's round. And it turned 3 corners and ended up in front of Ed's microphone.
We were searching like fools over there for a long period of time. And then I'm walking back to my seat and I go, you mean this thing all the way over here?
Scratching out here like monkeys.
And by the way, speaking of the carpet's dark, like if Rob laid down, you could see the difference in it. But that's, you're wearing a black shirt, so don't give me that look. That's what I was talking about. If you lay down on this darker carpet.
No, you weren't.
Oh. That was.
Let's go to Lou at Edgewood. What's up, Lou?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Lou?
Not much, man.
Hey,
are you calling to talk about Deshaun Watson and your Browns?
Oof.
No, but if you want, I got a quick comment. If you got the time,
go ahead.
I'm calling about my O's.
Go ahead.
You know, Deshaun, I cannot believe another charge has come up. I wake up this morning, I get on CBSSports.com, and there it is right there. So I called back when they signed him, if you remember. I am not happy about that guy, and I've already rant and raved about it and told you my reasons. And this is just justification why I was not happy about it.
I know.
When they signed him.
I know. You hated it. And I remember the call because you've been a faithful listener and calling for over a decade. So I do remember that one. What you got about the Orioles?
All right. The Orioles. The one thing I take away from the end of this season, man, is like, because we are crawling. We are like scuffling, tripping, whatever you want to call it. We're having a hard time here. I just think that, honestly, I'd be happy to make the playoffs, but I really want them to still concentrate on building this farm system because obviously we have nothing down there as far as arms.
Lou, let me tell you
something,
buddy.
I'm worried about it.
They're 5.5
I'm worried about it.
They're 5.5 games up on the last wild card team.
I get you. We're going to go in them, but I'm worried about the pitching in the playoffs.
Oh, man. I got you. Yeah.
And I'm just
pitching. I'm worried about the hitting.
Continue to build this farm system. We can't go out and buy pitchers. We can't go out and buy bats because it's just not – every move that seems like we make doesn't really pan out. And I know Jack Flaherty was – you know, he looks like an ace right now compared to what we got.
No, man, you got to understand. They got – you mean to tell me you don't like the Zach Eflin move? He lost his first start with the Orioles since coming over here.
He's up in age. And one thing I've learned in the last 2 years with these Orioles, I want some young arms. I want young players. I'm sorry. I do like veterans too. But when it comes to baseball, give me the young guys.
Right, well,
I do not want the older guys.
But Flaherty has one up in age. He's 30 years old, Zach Eflin. What are you talking about? He's 30.
Because I believe if you're a pitcher, in my belief, you're a pitcher, you're 30 and above, I don't want you.
No. Pitchers don't hit their stride until they're like 28, 29.
This isn't running
back. Yeah, what are you talking about? Zach, 30 years old? Zach Eflin's up in age? The dude's 30. What are you talking about? 23, 24-year-old pitchers, most of the time, still trying to find themselves. No, 28, 29, that's when pitchers start really hitting their stride, Jeremy, and understand how to pitch.
I think that 28 to 33-year range is kind of, that's the hot spot that you want. And then every once in a while, you get a Scherzer, you get a Verlander.
Who lasts a long time.
Zach Greinke. And some of these guys have to reinvent how they pitch, but some of them are just flamethrowers for the rest of the... I mean, look at Nolan Ryan and how hard he was throwing when he was pitching when he was 75.
Lamar Jackson misses practice, but for reasons ungiven, we'll talk about that at 7 on the other side. Birds, bats, just aren't getting it done. Is there a solution? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You know what grinds my gears, Jeremy? And we can talk about the bullpen, but what do we really expect out of Kimbrel? And come on. What grinds my gears is this. I watch too often, and I guess it's something that I learned younger. When I don't have two strikes on me, I'm not going for that ball that's spinning sideways. I'm not offering that unless I see it spinning towards the middle of the strike zone sideways. And too often, you see out batters on pitches that start off on the black that's spinning the wrong way, we're offering at them. The two strikes, I get it, because you don't know whether that thing's going to hug back. I got you. But with fewer than two strikes, even if you make contact, that's a pitcher's strike. That's not a batter's strike. That's not a hitter's strike. And to me, it seems that we have too many undisciplined bad at bats. It seems, and you could call it pressing. You could call it that. And I think some of it is, but it's just too many of them.
You asked me yesterday, what do you think about Cedric Mullins? No, it was Glenn Clark. What do you think about Cedric Mullins batting second? And I'm going, you know, I'm fine with that. You know, Adley gets moved down in the lineup, but there's a couple different things here that you could look at. The approach at the plate, you know, we've heard a lot, and the first time I heard this brought up was probably by you, the term ambush, where you're looking for that first pitch. Because, like Adley last year, if you watch it, he took more first pitches than anyone in baseball. So what do they do this year? They come back, let's get him behind 0-1 to start off. Are you going to take the pitch? I'm going to throw a strike.
Right.
So he's had to switch that up, and he's kind of caught in between and figuring it out now, or something else is wrong with him. But on the flip side, too, like when you first started talking, it made me think more about the pitching than the actual hitting and what we've seen from this team. I don't know if you watched the Greg Maddux MLB piece on MLB Network.
I did.
It's one of the best pieces. Away with a changed feeling about Greg Maddux. Like, damn, he was that good?
Well, it didn't change my feelings. It confirmed.
But, like, I was thinking about this last. Charlie Morton pitched last night, and there was this viral video that went around 4 or 5 years ago where almost like, you know how they would take Rich Eisen running against people in the 40? They would superimpose Charlie Morton's delivery from his three pitches. And the three same pitches thing. All come out of the same slot, and they just go different directions midway down. And then it's like, it's up to the hitter to either guess or hope he misses his spot. And then you hit it if you're sitting there on those pitches. And the same thing with Maddux. They all come out of the same arm slot. He would spin it in and out to different players, whether you're right or left-handed, and paint the corners. He'd move your eye levels up and down. It's just insane to watch some of these guys go and what the approach is against them. Watching it this year with the Orioles and, again, less than pitchers, sometimes you go up there and go, what are you looking for?
I'm just about to say that. You use two rare guys. Most guys don't do that. Last night, Brian Bellow had different slots for different pitches. Mm-hmm. With different slots.
And that's
he didn't come from the same arm slot. He varies his arm slot based on what he's throwing. So why are you going for it?
Well, I always talk about non-competitive pitches. I get so frustrated. And look, I know Santander likes the high strikes, and he hit that grand slam. But if you watch how pitchers approach him, that's where they're throwing the ball.
Yeah.
He gets so many above the strike zone that I'm like, damn, man, what are they seeing on film? It'd be nice to pick some other team's brains to see what they see with the Orioles and how they attack them. But non-competitive pitches suck, man. Like, if you're going up there and you're wasting a pitch and it's nowhere near the strike zone, what's the point?
Jim Palmer talks about that all the time. You're on a pitch count. Why are you wasting it? You know what I mean?
I just don't get it, man.
Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, man?
Good morning, my favorite show.
What's up, buddy?
The big fat morning show, like Trippy said. Right?
Hello. We added a few calories.
That was funny as hell yesterday, man. But yeah, man, tough loss last night. Another tough loss. The only good thing from that game last night was the hell of a catch by Mullins, though, man.
The 40th home run by Santander.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought that up because it was a point that I wanted to make, and I didn't know how much, you know, we'd get to it with football and baseball and everything. I love watching Cedric Mullins play defense, and I don't know how many people you get to say that about in baseball, but, man, he covers so much ground, and it's such a, I don't want to say a blessing to have him in center field because you know the writing's on the wall at some point where Enrique Bradfield Jr. is coming up, and that's the guy that ends up replacing him, but... Man, I've enjoyed watching him play for and hopefully we get to continue.
Hope they keep him around. You know, I know I guess he may get another year in this contract, man. You know, I know he's not the best hitter. No more. I guess he's hitting but under 230 now, something like that.
233, you know? Actually, yeah.
233, you know. But other than that, like somebody said online, man, this time next month, it'll all be over. You know, there's just no way this team is going to compete this year.
Who's going to knock him out?
Who's going to knock him out?
Yeah.
Whoever they face. Who look like he's going to be with the Royals in the first round, maybe, because I don't think we're going to win the division.
Okay, so that means, that the Cleveland Guardians, who won 6 out of 10, could be the Astros, who won 6 out of 10. The problem is this, Rashawn, for as badly, as poorly as they're playing 500 baseball over the last 10. No one is playing that. There are people in other cities right now saying the same thing about their team. The Yankees have won the 500 of the last 10. No one is playing good baseball. Even though you're right, they're limping their way to the end, but there's no one that's in the game right now that I look at and say, oh, man, they'll destroy the Orioles.
No, man, but it's like fool's gold thinking this team, you know, is going to beat anybody else, man. Like, look at the people in this lineup. Riviere, Soto, Slater. You really think we're going to win with these guys in our lineup every night?
It all depends on who they play. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're asking me about my team, but the two wild card teams beneath them are 4 out of the last 10 and 3 out of the last 10. My question to you is, who is dominating right now in the American League? I'm not afraid of anybody in the American League right now. You are spot on about your observation of the Baltimore Orioles. I am not arguing that. Mm-hmm. You're spot on.
Hey, were they?
But what you're missing is who they're playing.
Were they playing in Mexico with Riviera?
I tried to let it slide. I tried to let it slide, Rashawn. But Rashawn, you're right. They're playing bad baseball. The problem is, or the good thing is, everybody in the American League is playing bad baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the good part.
I mean, look, if you go and listen to Yankee fans, they've been bitching about this team forever. Clay Holmes had a clean inning, and Aaron Boone starts talking about him, and you're looking at Yankee fans going, you better stop talking about his ass. He's blown 11 saves. And then now Jason Dominguez gets called up for the Yankees, And it's like, okay, is he going to play every day? And so, like, they've got some issues themselves. Their starting pitching hasn't been great.
Yeah.
Nestor Cortez got moved to the bullpen.
Everybody has issues right now. John Harbaugh gave his answer on Derrick Henry. See if you agree about that at 7:15. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of great stories. I got some sports stories for you to throw in here of guys doing stupid things. Can't wait to tell you about that. We're going to get into it coming up next here in the World of Stupid.
The Big Bad Morning Show presents Jeremy Kahn in a world of stupid. 105.7 The Fan.
All right.
You thought I was going to start?
I thought you had a read. No? Oh, we'll do it live? Is it a sting? What's happening? Is it?
It's some time, man. Let's go.
That's just upset. Get your feelings over there. All right, let's start off with grave robbers. Yeah, I've never understood this. Now, look, you'd have to think they're making quite a bit of money. Ain't no way I want to dig 6 feet down to find if there's something in there. But Indiana grave robbers were busted for allegedly swiping over a dozen bronze veteran burial markers. A pair of accused Indiana grave robbers have been arrested for allegedly swiping more than a dozen bronze headstones. If you ain't got to dig 6 feet down to collect some jewelry or whatever the hell I assume grave robbing was, if they're just grabbing headstones, it's still cruddy, don't get me wrong. But this is kind of interesting. Terry Wood, 53, and Brianna Puentes, 25, were cuffed Friday for allegedly stealing at least 15 grave markers from 6 different cemeteries. What kind of scumbag do you have to be to steal from the cemetery?
Pretty good scumbag.
This is like
grade A scumbag.
You gotta be kidding me with this nonsense. And like, all right, so officials started to receive reports last month of bronze veteran grave markers disappearing, according to the sheriff's office, which launched Justice, Peace, and Salute, a multi-division operation led by Detective Jake. I'm gonna say it's Cook. K-O-C-H. He's a veteran himself.
Yeah.
Figured it was Cook.
I
didn't want to hear that word coming out of my mouth. The markers are as small as a medallion or
can
cover the entire headstone in the shape of a plaque. But what kind of a-hole do you have to be to steal from the dead? What'd they do to you? Anybody trying to gain something? You fall on hard times. I understand people do dumb stuff.
Well, I don't understand that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying I don't understand it.
You understand it. You just don't agree with it.
I don't understand it. There's some things you just can't fathom. That's one of them. I can't.
It's pretty cruddy. Do you want to see a picture of these two?
No.
Because he's with the 25-year-old girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see her?
Is that a jail outfit?
Yeah.
Or is that his volunteer outfit? Did he wake up and say, I'm putting that on?
It looked like Freddy Krueger with a... and it's a faded sweatshirt. But yeah, you're right. He does look like he has the jail stripes on in that picture. He's an ugly dude. All right. I told you I had a couple of sports stories that I wanted to get to. First off, and I didn't know how much we were going to touch on it, but I'm wondering what the league does. 49ers running back last night in the game said he knew he was starting on Friday. And then here we get to Monday. This is going to be a huge deal whether the league tries to sweep this under the rug or not, because it falls in line with gambling, competitive play, the injury report, finagling, listing him questionable, knowing he wasn't going to play on Friday, and then they quickly tried to change it because Kyle Shanahan said, no, we didn't know until tonight. Well, how the hell did your backup running back know he was starting? There has to be an investigation into this because this is the same cruddy stuff that Bill Belichick does. Harbaugh does some of this to a degree.
You got to investigate, but there's an explanation to that. I mean, he could have said, they could have really listed him as questionable, but the running back could have said, man, I looked at McCaffrey. I knew he wasn't going to play Friday.
Well, he said he was told he was starting Friday.
I thought the question was, when did you know you were going to play? I heard it this morning.
Yeah, but he said Friday. He was told Friday.
No, but that wasn't the question when you was told. I thought the question was, when did you know? When did you know you were going to play? So I could easily say, well, yeah, I knew I was going to play because I saw McCaffrey try to run. Not because somebody told me.
Well, let's get to this one because I was going to bring this up in the Daily Line. Bet365, you guys are scumbags. So last night, obviously, there were people that flocked to it and beat the books on realizing Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to start. So people bet Jordan Mason over his rushing yards. And his rushing yards were 13 and a half. As a starting running back, I don't care who you're facing, you think you're going to get more than 14 yards, right?
You think so. You would think.
So what they did is they canceled everyone's bet at 13 and a half and made it the revised odds of minus 5,000 to get... They left it at over 13 and a half, but if you put $100 on it and it's minus 5,000, you're winning pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Like, barely that. So it's BS because I've been in this situation. Look, I've gambled long enough with offshore books, the stuff online here, like, everything that you can have. Every way that you can do it, I've done it. And I remember one time the book made a mistake and they made Michigan State plus 3.5 and they were minus 3.5. So I bet it. They made the mistake. Here's the difference. If I click on the wrong bet and I contact them and say, hey, man, I clicked on the wrong team and hit submit,
tough luck.
You don't get to have it both ways. Like, you guys already have all the advantages at being the book. But here we are. We are contacting regarding bet ID placed at the odds of minus 110 on Jordan Mason over 13 and a half yards. We are now going to make it minus 5,000. Please accept our apologies for anything. No! F you guys. Pay me my effing money. So Bet365, you guys can go kick cans. Horrible website. Don't bet on there. I wish I could. They're not a sponsor. There's a couple other ones I'd like to talk about, but I don't know if they sponsor here or not, so I ain't going to say nothing. Last story here for you. What do you think about sleeping in separate beds as adults with your significant other? Woman was shocked at a viral response after revealing she and her boyfriend doesn't share a bedroom. They have separate rooms. So this is, look, not getting into other people's businesses, but like, her business... You do have situations where I've seen people that are more comfortable having their own bed. They sleep better. Somebody's snoring. You're watching what you want on TV. You get your own privacy. And anybody that's been married, you got to have your own time. Like, one of the reasons I think my wife and I, our relationship works so great. She works overnights. I work early in the morning. There's 2 or 3 days a week where you've got alone time. You're not bothered by anybody. And I don't mean that like my wife bothers me, but you get what I'm saying. You get your downtime.
You bother her.
Yes. So like, I do. So you get that chance to kind of be excited to see somebody again. Maybe it's a comfort thing. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. But I am also one of those guys. I get really hot. You know that. I don't want to cuddle. I mean, we can cuddle for a little bit, but I'm going to remove your arms around me because I'm the little spoon, Rob. I'm going to remove your arms because I get too hot, you know? What do you think?
I think that's no ditty because you start off by saying, Rob, you know I get hot. I don't want to cuddle. No ditty.
Anyway, that's your world stupid.
Man, don't be tough saying it.
What?
Shovels at 7:45, but on the other side, Lamar misses practice, but for reasons not given. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
Catholic Charities celebrates this week's Love Your Neighbor All-Star, Sean Doggett. Sean is a dedicated colleague at My Brother's Keeper, who is a great teammate and goes the extra mile for the people we serve. Learn more about Sean and Love Your Neighbor at cc-md.org/love.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now, through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon game out of market. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. It sounds like a great deal. I love watching games that you ordinarily couldn't. Just visit FanDuel.com/promo code Ed to download America's number one sports book. And
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.